Do take a seat. Now, I wonder who can tell me what last Tuesday was. Last Tuesday, 31st of October. Yeah.
Halloween.
I thought that's what we'd say. That's what most people would say, isn't it? Halloween. That's right. But actually, you know, last Tuesday, especially the 31st of October 2017, has another different connection for a lot of people. In some parts of Europe, the 31st of October is known as Reformation Day and is a special holiday. And that's because in 1517, on October the 31st, of course, exactly 500 years ago, a German university teacher called Martin Luther made a protest against what he knew to be bad things that were going on in the name of the Catholic Church. Now, that moment when he nailed his 95 statements to the church door in a town called Wittenberg has been taken by historians as the beginning of the so-called Reformation, that is, the reforming of the church, which came about as people rediscovered the good news of Jesus from the Bible. Now, I thought this morning it might be fun to watch a little video. It's based on that Playmobil animation, which tells the story of Martin Luther. Now, if you can't see it, if anybody wants to come and hover around here, you're welcome to do that.
He got up to some pretty adventurous things. He was kidnapped by knights on horseback. He lived in disguise in a castle. And helped some nuns escape from a convent by hiding them in barrels. But as a young man, he was troubled by a deep sense that he wasn't right with God. Once, in a thunderstorm, a lightning bolt nearly struck him. He thought he was going to die. He cried out for help to one of the saints, saying rashly, "Save me, and I'll become a monk." He survived. And so, true to his word, he gave up his studies as a lawyer and became a monk. His friends and family said he was wasting his talent. In the monastery, he started reading the Bible. He discovered that it was God's mercy and love that was all that was needed to be right with God. And for the first time in his life, he found a deep peace with God. Luther was invited to be a lecturer at the University of Wittenberg. He taught through books of the Bible, and his lectures were popular. Even ordinary people from the town came along. In those days, the Catholic Church was telling Christians that their good behavior could earn them heaven. But Luther knew from the Bible that no amount of good works could earn you forgiveness. Not even the Pope was able to give forgiveness from God. Only God could do that. Luther saw that the Church had left behind what the Bible taught and was even making things up for its own gain. He decided he must teach against these false ideas. He made his complaints public by nailing them to the place in town where people published important documents, the door of the castle church. He explained that it wasn't possible to buy God's forgiveness or to live a life that was good enough to deserve to know God. His writings showed that God wants to forgive the wrong we've done, and that this is only possible because Jesus, the Son of God, came to pay the punishment that our wrong deserved. Jesus did this as he died in our place. Luther's ideas quickly spread throughout Europe, thanks to a recent invention, the printing press. The Pope wrote a document saying that Luther had to take it all back, and if he didn't, he'd be treated as a heretic. Luther refused, and publicly burned a copy of the Pope's letter. Luther's ideas shook things up religiously, politically, and culturally. He was soon summoned to stand before the emperor and answer for his supposed crimes of explaining what the Bible said. The emperor declared Luther an outlaw, banning his literature. And that's when he was rescued and went to live in disguise in a castle. Dressing in knight's clothing, he changed his name to Sir George and grew his hair and a beard, and spent his time translating the New Testament, Again, it was published widely, meaning ordinary people could read the Bible for the first time. Luther then secretly returned to Wittenberg. He continued to write books and translate the Bible. He also got married and had a family. Europe was buzzing with Luther's message about the Bible. Today, 500 years on, the truths of the Bible that Luther knew continue to impact millions of people. People who've come to know God personally, knowing the peace and forgiveness Jesus offers us. The forgiveness that Luther found is still available today. We can all be in a right relationship with God because of one man, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, the key factor in all that happened 500 years ago was that people started to read the Bible again. And those who read it were absolutely amazed. You see, they discovered that, as we've been seeing in recent weeks here at All Saints, that we can be put right with God, not by doing good things, which was kind of the idea of the time, but what the Bible said, which is that we can be put right with God because Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for what we've done against him. We can be justified. We can be put right with God. And it's not about our efforts, but it's about God's undeserved love, his grace. Now, this gospel message turns upside down the values of the world so often. That's all about power and strength. And it shows that actually God's power is made known through the apparent weakness of Jesus dying on the cross. But actually, that's the way that God has set things up, to bring people to himself. And then to bring into connection with Jesus, into union with him, those who believe in him. So that those who believe in Jesus share all the good things that he has and makes available. So it's reading the Bible that enabled people to see all these things that have been hidden by lots of confusion over the years. So the cry of the reformers was, Christ alone, by grace alone, received by faith alone, all from the scriptures alone. Now, as you might expect, the Bible itself shows why this is so important. And that's what we heard as we read those words written by Jesus' fisherman friend, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1. You see, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, Peter, who'd let Jesus down, was forgiven by Jesus, and then he was commissioned, he was sent out to be a leader and a teacher in the church of Jesus. And he writes to Christians who are facing the danger of people confusing them and trying to lead them astray. So Peter writes because he wants them and he wants us to know where we can get the truth from, where God's message can be found, how we can hear God speak to us. Now, I wonder if somebody can just come and give me a hand at this point. I need somebody to come and stick something up on the side here. Anybody come and just give me a hand? Just a little job. You can pop out the front and come back and do it. Anybody like to help? We've got, yeah, one of you over there. Well, I'll come back to you, Matthew, if you want. You come on then. You stick it on the pulpit somewhere. You see, this is the first thing that we learn from, from what we read from 2 Peter, that actually the Bible is reliable. Thank you, go and sit down. Now, Peter makes clear that what we have in our Bibles is a message that comes from people who know what they're talking about. You see, many of the main events that are recorded in the Bible were written down by people who were there. So Peter reminds us that the words that we have in the Bible come from people who saw the events themselves. So he says of himself and his friends, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." See, Peter and the other close friends of Jesus spent time with Jesus, and then they wrote down truthfully what happened to him and what he said. Now, Peter mentions in particular a time that we have in the Gospels where Jesus went up a mountain and God revealed himself in a special way to the people that were there. And he says, "For when he received honor and glory from God the Father," that's Jesus, "the voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" And he says, "We ourselves heard this very voice from heaven." And then he wrote it down. So what we have in the Bible is reliable. But also Peter makes clear that the Bible is reliable because though God used human beings to write it, and he used their different styles and their backgrounds and their personalities, God was the one who was behind it all. "First of all," says Peter, "no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own imagination. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of people, but people spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So it's God, the Holy Spirit, who worked in the writers to make sure that what they wrote down, what we have in our Bibles, is what God wanted us to hear. God breathed out his words so that what we have in our Bibles is God's word written. So the Bible is reliable. There's something else, though, that we learn about the Bible. Somebody come and help me with another piece of paper. Come on then, Matthew. Thank you. Can you see what it says on it?
Light.
And that is, you see, that the Bible is light. It brings light. So if you stick that somewhere. Thank you. Now, we all know, don't we, just from a few moments listening to the news or hearing what's going on in the lives of our friends and those at work and school and so on, that there's a lot of confusion in the world. How are we to treat one another? How are we to understand ourselves? What is right and wrong? What is true or fake? Well, we're thanking God for little Edward this morning. And in some ways, Edward is going to be growing up in a world that is challenging. So how can he and the rest of us deal with that? Well, the Bible, says Peter, is like a lamp shining in a dark place. God's word bring God's light to make known what is wholesome and good. So Peter tells his first hearers that God's word is something to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. See, we need to keep listening to and hearing God's word, enabling it to light up our lives until God's plans are fulfilled in Jesus when we see him with our own eyes when he comes back to earth. And this is especially true because, like the people that Peter was writing to, there are those who are connected with churches who teach what is not according to God's word. People who will confuse and teach error. Sadly, there are people in our day who wear sort of church uniforms, who have impressive church titles, who actually bring darkness. So we need to hear God's message when we read it in the Bible and have it explained in church and to pay attention to it. So we don't find out what is good and true and wholesome just from going with the flow of those around us or what we or others experience, but rather from God himself through his word in the Bible. And that's also why here as a church family we support our former parish assistant Nicholas Haydock, who is out in Asia translating the Bible so that other people can hear God's message in their mother tongue. So the Bible is reliable. The Bible is light. There's one other thing that we need to see from this reading this morning, which somebody else can stick on for us if they'd like to. Someone's very keen to do it again. Anybody like to have a go? We've got an offer there. Yeah, come and help me then. Thank you. Can you see what it says on it? Jesus. I'm going to stick that on there somewhere. Maybe on that bit of wood here. Look over here. Yeah, on that side. That'd be fine. Lovely. Thank you very much. You see, in that Bible reading, Peter makes clear that what he and the others saw of Jesus and wrote down about him was the message of the prophets made more fully confirmed. In other words, the Bible, all of the Bible, is about Jesus. From the very first books of the Old Testament law, through the prophets and the wisdom books and the history books, before the New Testament then makes known where Jesus was born, how he lived, what he taught, and what he did in dying on the cross and rising again. So when we read the Bible, we need to keep asking, what does it show about Jesus and his undeserved love towards people like us? Well, we began, didn't we, thinking about the changes that were brought about 500 years ago through the Reformation. And we saw that God brought a reformation. He brought new life as people heard his message in the Bible. And it's the same in our day. Now, when thinking about a suitable present to give little Edward this morning, what we handed over was a Bible. And what more fitting gift could there be as we thank God for him this morning? But that Bible is very important for all of us, because the Bible is reliable. The Bible is God's word. It is his light in the darkness. And it points to Jesus, who is the only one who can bring us to God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word in the Bible. We thank you for preserving it for us, for inspiring it. Thank you for the freedom that we have to be able to read it. We pray that you would open our hearts afresh to your word, that we might see Jesus more clearly. Amen. Well, the Bible does point us to Jesus very